All right, we're going to save a little bit of time at the end of the message for prayer, and so I'm looking forward to that already, but I want to jump into today's message. We're going to start a new series today called Boundaries. As I was praying about this year, several months ago, this word just kept coming to my spirit, this word boundaries. And so I've spent the last few months really reading the Word of God, doing research about this topic of boundaries, and there's all kinds of good things out there about it, but for the next few weeks, that's going to be our focus. Now, boundaries are a lot of things, right? How many know fences are boundaries? You know, you have fences to keep things in, and you have fences to keep things out. Boundaries can be property lines. You know, this is my property, that's your property, here's the boundary. Boundaries can be borders for nations. How many know the Great Wall of China was built like that? Laws like speed limits. I know some think those are suggestions. Those are actually boundaries, right, for people. Guardrails on the road are boundaries as well to keep you from going off into the ditch or over a cliff. And so there's all kinds of boundaries, but this is our theme verse for this series. A lot of you will recognize the New King James Version of Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." A lot of us know that verse, but I love the New Living Translation version of this verse. "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild." That's a little more color to that. "But whoever obeys the law is joyful." So when you don't accept divine guidance, God's boundaries, people run wild. But if you obey the law, you honor the boundaries, the result is joy. So right up front, we recognize there's benefits to boundaries. There are blessings in boundaries. Now there are physical boundaries, there are mental boundaries, emotional boundaries, and spiritual boundaries. And that's what we're going to be focusing on in this series. And here's today's big idea, and this is the thing we're going to keep coming back to again and again over these next few weeks. God provides boundaries for us in both his commandments and our convictions to provide for us and to protect us. Amen. Let me say that again. God is the one who's the author of boundaries. He provides them for us in both his commandments and our convictions. We're going to have fun talking about that difference over these next few weeks. To provide for us and to protect us. Now, there's all kinds of stuff written about boundaries and their importance in our lives. Psychologists give a litany of reasons and benefits to having emotional boundaries, mental boundaries in our lives. He said boundaries are important for self-esteem, especially for kids. We're going to talk about that when we talk about boundaries with kids. Kids without boundaries don't have any self-esteem. Boundaries help us to have purpose, a reason for being. Having healthy relationship boundaries is a source of self-protection. It gives us the opportunity to take responsibility for our lives when we have boundaries, and helps us solve problems. It enables us to make healthy choices and good choices. And having boundaries in your life, I love this, leads to emotional maturity. Now, I know when I mention the word emotional maturity, immediately faces come to mind, okay? Don't point at those people or elbow them or anything like that, but boundaries give emotional maturity. And then boundaries are important in having healthy relationships. So this is what psychologists tell us. Matter of fact, I want to recommend a book to you if you want to dive into this even deeper. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend wrote it's a best-selling book, millions of copies, called Boundaries. Very helpful for people who want a lot of this in your life. But I found one quote from a psychologist by the name of Scott Peck that I think is so powerful, I wanted to show it to you. Here's what he says. "Mental health requires that the human will submit itself to something higher than itself. To function decently in this world, we must submit ourselves to some principle that takes precedence over what we want at any given moment." See, Pastor, that sounds like psychological gobbledygook. Here's what he's saying. He's saying we have to recognize that there are boundaries that we didn't make. And we have to, if we want to be mentally healthy, if we want to be mentally strong, we've got to submit to boundaries. Are you getting that? Now, why do we need boundaries physically, emotionally, and spiritually? That's the topic of today's message. We're going to provide a theological foundation for why we need boundaries. And then next week, we're going to start applying this to various areas of our life. Next week's topic is sexual boundaries. Nervous laughter here. Okay? What does the Bible say about it? What are the commandments? What conviction should we have about all of that? Why does God give these commandments about sex? We're going to talk about marriage boundaries. We're going to talk about boundaries with your kids. It's going to be interesting to point out to you what the Bible has to say about social media boundaries. Believe it or not, you shouldn't just say whatever comes to mind. Just, mate, okay, that's a little bit of a preview. And so today, though, we're going to lay the foundation of why this is important. So write this down. Why do we have boundaries? First of all, because boundaries protect us. Boundaries protect us. About a year and a half ago, I was in Africa on a missions trip. We took a day and a half to go on a safari. And so we're out in this, you know, these plains of Africa, seeing the lions and the tigers and the hyenas and, you know, the animals who eat other animals, the predators. Of course, that's what you wanted to see. So we check into the lodge where we're staying on the safari that's on the plain, the African plain, I mean. And so the manager of the lodge is explaining to us there is no fence between the lodge and the animals. Yeah, my reaction was like that. He said, so don't leave the lodge unless you have an armed guard with you. To which I said, yes, sir. I left that place recognizing I like boundaries. This is very good. Boundaries are for our protection. Now, if you've seen this movie, don't raise your hand, but I know a lot of you have. I haven't seen this movie, but I've read about this movie called The Purge, a fantasy science fiction movie. And the premise of The Purge, which, by the way, is so popular, there's two sequels that go with it. The premise of the movie is that for 12 hours, one night per year, there are no rules. No crime is illegal. You can kill anybody. You can do anything you want to anybody else. And so the movie focuses on one particular family who's trying to protect themselves. Now, what's the genre of this movie? Oh, it's a horror movie. Because without boundaries, everybody's afraid. Are you getting this? Boundaries protect us, right? They keep fear away from us. Now, boundaries also protect us from a false sense of reality. I was in Florida for the last couple of days, tried to bring the weather back with me. You're welcome. It's not working so well so far this morning, but we'll see. I heard a pastor tell the story. He was talking about his son. This is not my son. This is him and his son. He said his son was part of a flag football league, and he said they weren't very good. But they didn't keep score at the games. And he says, but of course, parents keep score, especially the dads. So he said the team was so bad, he said they probably lost every game by an average of 49 to nothing. When the season's over, his son comes to him and says, Dad, I think I'm pretty good at football. To which his dad said, son, no, you're not. He goes, I would encourage you never to play football again. He goes, you might want to try something else. Boundaries protect us from a false sense of who we are and what we can do. There's deep stuff there if you'll actually think about it. So boundaries protect us. And the second thing that boundaries do is they provide things for us. Boundaries provide things for us. And it's good stuff too. We'll go through the list. One of the things that boundaries provide for us is purpose. Boundaries provide purpose. Think about a baseball game, but there are no foul lines. There's no umpire. There's no rules. A ball's a strike, strike's a ball. It's whatever you want it to be. Can I tell you what's going to happen at that game? Nothing, because nobody's going to play that game. What's the point of playing the game? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, everyone competes to win a prize. He said that's the point. It's the same with basketball or football or whatever sport you play. If there's no rules, if there's no guidelines, if there's no boundaries, Oh, everybody wins. Well, let's talk about that a little bit later when we talk about boundaries with kids, okay? So boundaries provide purpose. And so without rules or guidelines or boundaries in our lives, how many know we can descend into this pit of despair, of purposelessness? And I think that's a great way to begin to describe what's happening to many people in our culture who are rejecting boundaries. So because boundaries provide purpose, they give us fulfillment and self-esteem. And then I think this is so important. I hope you're paying attention to this, because boundaries provide freedom. Now, this doesn't make sense to our current culture. They think it's the opposite. Boundaries restrict. Boundaries are like a prison. No, God says boundaries actually give you freedom. Dr. James Dobson tells a story in his book, Boundaries for Your Child. He says, years ago, some progressive educators wanted to prove that kids didn't need boundaries, that boundaries were restrictive to them. So as an experiment, they conducted an experiment at a local nursery school. They decided to remove the chain link fences from around the perimeter of the nursery school playground. And whenever the fence was removed, the boys and girls huddled near the center of the playground. Not only did they not wander away, they didn't even venture to the edge of the playground. Boundaries bring freedom. Now, another good thing that boundaries do is boundaries provide direction. When we have boundaries in our lives, it helps us to have direction. Now, think about driving. There's a reason they have lanes and stoplights and stop signs, right? What would it be like to drive without any boundaries, without any lanes or stoplights? Oh, that would be called Cairo, because I was there, all right? And I've got a video to show you, kind of illustrate what traffic can be like without boundaries, without rules. What you see is chaos. What you see is dangerous. I'll never forget, I was in Cairo. I'm in the back seat of a car going 90 miles an hour. And I called my wife and I said, I love you, honey. I may never see you again. That is crazy, right? Now listen, why do we have stoplights and stop signs and yield signs and speed limits and guardrails on the side of the road? To protect and direct, right? Go this way, now, not now, stop, go. Listen, that's why we need this. It's for our good. It provides directions. You kind of think about boundaries being kind of like a road map. You know, you can't go where you need to go without following the map. Otherwise, you won't know when you arrive. But boundaries get you where God wants you to be. Listen closely. Boundaries, following God's boundaries, gets you where God wants you to be. Now, here's another cool thing that boundaries provide for us. Boundaries provide identity. Boundaries provide identity. There is a debate going on in our country about a wall. In the debate, someone said, a nation without borders isn't a nation at all. I think that applies to a lot of different areas. How many know a marriage without boundaries is no marriage at all? You know, listen, because boundaries provide identity, that which distinguishes us from something else, or worse, nothing else. And everything becomes indistinguishable. So a marriage without boundaries is not a marriage. A person without boundaries is, in a sense, not a person at all. They're aimless, or lost, or wandering, or purposeless, with no identity. Another word we could use instead of identity is integrity, in a sense of structural integrity. Think about a human cell, right? Your skin is a boundary. Think about your body without skin. What would you be? You would be a blob of nothingness, okay? So it's formless and void, like the earth in the beginning. So boundaries provide an identity for us. And so God, because God is a God of order, God is not a God of confusion. He gives us boundaries. So write this down, because boundaries are God's idea. Boundaries are God's idea. God is a God of boundaries. We see it in the very beginning, don't we? When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he separated light from darkness. So there's a boundary now between day and night. He collected the waters into one place and called them seas. He set boundaries for the water so dry land would appear. Are you hearing this? He created all living things according to their kinds, and each is only able to reproduce according to its own kind. He established seasons, right? Why? Because God is a God of boundaries. And listen, we are made in God's image. We were made for boundaries. Now, another example of God's boundaries is the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, these famous rules for, not just for, this is for everybody. And of course, you can't talk about the Ten Commandments without at least showing a short video clip of the actual movie, or at least the part that Charlton Heston played in the movie. Watch this.
Moses! Joshua!
Woe unto thee, O Israel! You have sinned a great sin in the sight of God. You are not worthy to receive these Ten Commandments.
We're gathered against you, Moses. You take too much upon yourself. We will not live by your commandments. We're free.
There is no freedom without the law.
Whose law, Moses? Yours? Did you carve those tablets to become a prince over us?
Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me.
Who is on the Lord?
I love that. Did you hear what he said? There is no freedom without the law. There is no freedom without the law. Now, the other dude, I can't remember his name, he's like, who are you, Moses? You're trying to be king over us? You're not the boss of me. You're trying to give us these rules so that you can control us. That's how our current culture feels about God and his word. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If there's no knowledge of the truth, there's no boundaries, there is no freedom. So why did God create these Ten Commandments? Of course, these Ten Commandments that we all know by heart, right? Anybody want to? No takers. Here they are. Oh, everybody. How many wants to do it now? Yes. Let's read them out loud. No other gods before me. No idols. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. I want you to notice these commandments are broken down. One affects our relationship with God and the other affects our relationship with other people. So why did God give these Ten Commandments? Is he trying to control us? Is he trying to be this divine dictator in the sky? Well, that's not what else the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, John said his commandments, they're not burdensome. God does not give us commands to be a burden on us, to control us. Matter of fact, I found this from a place called the Catholic Herald. So I'm quoting Catholics today. It's so good, though. I want you to hear this. He says, the giving of the Ten Commandments were an act of pure grace. God had set his people free from Egypt, and he wanted to keep them free. He had taken them to himself in an entirely new relationship. He would be their God and they would be his people. These Ten Commandments provided the boundaries to help this new relationship flourish. The Ten Commandments are safeguards for our relationship with God and each other. Each and every commandment can be understood as the expression of a relationship. So you can look at God's boundaries as restrictive, as controlling, or you can recognize them for what they are. God provided them for us to help our relationships with God and with each other. See, it really comes down to the fact, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about his heart? What do you believe about his motive? Well, we know what God's word says about that in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God says, here's how I feel. Here are my plans for you. I want to prosper you. I'm not here to harm you. I want to give you a hope and a future. How many know that's good news? And we recognize the heart of God. We understand that God gives us boundaries for our benefit and for our blessing. However, our culture does not feel that way, do they? Matter of fact, over the last 20-some years, they have been trying very hard to literally remove these boundaries from the public sector. You know, time after time, lawsuit after lawsuit has been given to remove the Ten Commandments from courthouses and public places. And time after time, some judge found in the Constitution somehow that it was unconstitutional to have these Ten Commandments in public places. Now, what's going on? What's the source of this? Listen, it's because our culture says it's wrong to have a standard. And it's wrong for us to impose our standard on other people. It's wrong to have gender boundaries. It's wrong to have sexual boundaries. It's wrong to have marriage boundaries, all in the name of political correctness. And I've been making the case for some years now that political correctness is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I know that's a bit of a shocking statement for some, but I want you to hear why I'm saying. The Bible says in the last days, the spirit of Antichrist will grow and grow and grow until the man of sin is revealed, the actual person, Antichrist. And the Bible calls that man a man of lawlessness. So the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of lawlessness. So what that means is that no boundaries, that's Satan's idea. Boundaries are God's idea. Having no boundaries, that's Satan's idea. Because instead of security and safety, Satan wants to bring fear. Instead of freedom, he wants you to be a slave. Instead of purpose and fulfillment in your life, he wants you to be frustrated. Instead of direction, he wants your life to be chaotic and stress-filled, like that video traffic that I showed you. Listen, Satan's goal for us is either move God's boundaries or remove God's boundaries. He wants us to either move God's boundaries, oh, a little more. It's just a little bit, or he wants us to totally remove them altogether. Why would he want to do that? Jesus exposed him in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said the thief, talking about our adversary, the devil, his goal is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's his goal. And there's a lot of people here today that will testify that they have seen this as a result. That's the enemy's plan. But God's goal is something else. Jesus said, I came that you might have life to the full. Go back to the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God had created this amazingly perfect, beautiful world. He creates Adam and Eve out of the dirt. He breathes life into them, and he says, now you're in charge of all of this. And so he gives them one commandment, one boundary. Don't eat the fruit of this one particular tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, he says, you'll die. One boundary, one. So here comes the serpent, comes along. He deceives and entices Adam and Eve, and he convinces them to violate God's boundary and to question even God's heart for even having the boundary in the first place. The result of them violating God's boundary was death, and sin, and disease, and pain, and suffering. Why does evil exist in the world? Because we violate God's boundaries. It's all traced back to this one moment here. Was this God's fault? No. God provided the boundary to keep it from happening. He gave the boundary to protect them and to provide for them. Adam and Eve violated the boundary, and now we all pay the price. You get that? Fast forward thousands of years. Now we are facing the exact same thing in our current culture, because ours is a culture where more and more there is growing hostility toward the message of Jesus, the message of salvation, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, somebody. And so there's this growing hostility toward followers of Jesus and toward Christianity. Matter of fact, one social scientist referred to Christianity as, he said, Christianity is a straitjacket. That it's a list of rules set up by a tyrant God whose goal is to control us. And so our culture feels that God is somehow this unjust person who seeks to limit our freedom. Our culture is just inundated with this theme. And there's a lot of movies that proclaim this theme. The Adjustment Bureau, The Truman Show, The Matrix, Inception. You say, what are these movies all about? Listen, Hollywood keeps retelling the story of the Garden of Eden with a twist. Sympathy for the serpent. In our culture, somehow, Christianity endangers freedom. In this culture, somehow Christianity divides rather than unites. Faith in Jesus is a narrow-minded thing and crippling to our full and free personhood. It's the exact same argument the serpent made to Adam and Eve in the garden. So how do we respond to this? I love the way Tim Keller puts it in his book, The Reason for God. If you've got people in your life, especially young adults, who are grappling with just the reason for God and all this kind of stuff, give them a copy of the book, The Reason for God by Tim Keller. He addresses this type of thinking, and it's really good. And because it's Tim Keller, who's a Presbyterian, not that there's anything wrong with Presbyterians, but I'm gonna ask you to lean in and pay a little extra attention, okay? Because this illustration's powerful. Here's what he says. He says, modern people like to see freedom as the complete absence of any restraints. He says, but I want you to think of it like a fish. Because a fish absorbs oxygen from water, not air. It's free only if it's restricted to water. It's boundaries. The fish is not more free, but less free if it cannot honor the boundaries of nature. God created the fish for water. If the fish stays in the water, he's good. If the fish gets out of the boundaries, he's not good. He's not free. He's going to die. God says to us, he made us too with certain boundaries that we will succeed in. We get outside the boundaries, there is no freedom, it's death. All right, we're the fish, the word of God is the boundaries. Oh, okay. So the same is true with airplanes and birds, he goes on to say. If airplanes or birds violate the laws of aerodynamics, they'll crash into the ground. But if they follow these rules, these natural boundaries, they will soar into the sky. The same is true in many areas of life. Freedom is not so much the absence of restrictions as finding the right ones. Those that fit with the realities of our own nature and those of the world. So the commandments of God then, he says, in the Bible, are a means of liberation, of freedom. Because through them, God calls us to be what he built us to be. He says, think about it this way. Cars work well when you follow the owner's manual. If you fail to change the oil, no one will fine you or take you to jail. They might send a tow truck to come get you, and that happened to me, but that's a whole other story. He says, your car will simply break down because you violated its nature. You suffer a natural consequence. In the same way, human life and relationships work properly when it's conducted in line with the owner's manual. The commandments of God, the boundaries of God. If you disobey the commands, not only do you grieve and dishonor God, you are actually acting against your own nature as God has designed you. I know it's early. You should probably watch this message again. and just think about that. That's powerful stuff. God created us in his image. God is a God of boundaries. We will flourish when we honor God's boundaries. We will die and we will suffer the consequence when we get outside of God's boundaries. This is so clear when God speaks to Israel in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 48, look at what he says. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way that you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. God is like this parent. And this guy said, I'm only trying to do what's best for you. I'm giving you these commands to provide for you and to protect you. Because when we honor God's boundaries, it's an invitation to freedom. It's an invitation to life. So, what are the boundaries then, Pastor? Well, that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about. The boundaries that God has for us in different areas of our life. But let's set it up this way. You might want to write this down. Boundaries are both commandments and convictions. Boundaries are both commandments and convictions. Now, most of us understand the first one, right? Commandments. It's whatever God says in his word. You'll learn this in the growth track. What do we believe about the Bible? The Bible is the final authority and rule for faith and conduct. We believe all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for rebuking, teaching, training, and righteousness. That's what God's word says. And so God's word is our final authority. And whatever it says about sex and marriage and family and work and rest and money and relationships, we follow his commandments, right? So the Ten Commandments are just one example of those boundaries. So each week, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into each topic and say, here's what God's word says about this. Now, I know some people are thinking, well, great, it's going to be a message about what we shouldn't do. No. It's going to be a message about how to flourish in those areas by clearly identifying the boundaries so that we can be blessed in those areas. Come on, somebody. Now, here's the problem. A lot of times in our culture, we say, well, you know, just keep the commandments. But how do we do that? One of the ways that God provides us to help keep the commandments is through convictions. Now, this is a word that even the church culture in America doesn't like anymore. Convictions. Because convictions are a little different than commandments. They're not necessarily clear-cut directives in the Bible. Convictions come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job, does anybody remember, is to help us. Jesus called him the helper. So convictions could be the voice of the Holy Spirit about issues that aren't clearly, you know, laid out in the Bible. Or maybe even people, good people disagree about what the Bible says. You know, other people may participate in certain things, but the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And through this, the challenge is to develop a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because his goal is to help you. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict you. Now, what does that mean? Well, the problem with commandments is far too many people want to go right up against the fence. Hey, I see you over there. I'm at the end. And the problem is we're so stupid, and we actually think we're smarter than the devil, and we forget that he's very good at deceiving. He's very good at making us blind. And so we say, hey, I'm looking, but I'm not touching. I didn't sin. Holy Spirit's way better than that. He gives us conviction. Before we ever get up to the line, we have a voice of the Holy Spirit going, before we ever get there. Convictions help us keep the commandments. This is going to be fun. Because that's when it's going to get really, really practical. What are convictions in each area that help us keep the commandments of God with our families, with sex, with our kids, with money, all kinds of stuff? We need to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to become a boundary in our lives so that we can be blessed. And all the people of God said amen. I want to encourage you and invite some people to this series. I think I think it's going to be a blessing to them. Now, I'm going to bring today's message to a close with this. When you have property, and there's a boundary around your property, and somebody illegally crosses that line, what do we call that? Trespassing. You are illegally a place where you should not be. That's a word that the Bible uses to describe sin. Sin is a trespass. Sin is trespassing God's boundaries. You get this? And when we trespass, there's a consequence. By law, there is a consequence of trespassing. It's the same in the spiritual realm. There's a consequence for trespassing outside of the boundaries. The Bible says the wages of sin or trespassing is death. Look at what the scriptures say about trespassing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave you your trespasses. And then he says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And then one more verse in Ephesians 2. He has made you alive, you who were dead in your trespasses and your sins. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us have trespassed the laws of God. And because of that, the consequence is death. But here's the good news. God could have just let you die. But he says, no, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you and put you back inside the boundary. That's what happened at the cross of Jesus. Jesus paid the penalty for your trespass. Jesus paid the fine, the legal consequence of your trespass. And that's how we have faith in Jesus. That's how we're part of God's family. We repent. We don't keep outside the trespasses. We go back inside the boundary in the family of God. Does that make sense? That's what repentance is. It's more than just believing something. It's doing something. It's following somebody, Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes in this place? I'm going to ask that no one be leaving and no one be looking around, please, and honor this sacred moment, because I know that there are men and women and young adults and teenagers and perhaps some children in this place that you've heard that voice of the Holy Spirit that I just described a minute ago. You've heard that voice, and he's speaking to you because you've trespassed, you've sinned, you've broken God's laws. And the good news of the gospel is the fact that God is not okay with you staying out there. He wants to bring you in to his family. He has made a way for that through the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you're not following Jesus, you're breaking God's laws, you're not following his commands, can I tell you that there is forgiveness, there is hope for you. Repentance and trusting Jesus to save you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm not following God's commands, and today I want to make a decision. I'm going to follow his commands. I'm going to do his will. I want to trust Jesus to save me. I want to become part of God's family. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you today and you're going to be honest and you're going to recognize the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today about your salvation, would you raise your hand right now? Would you raise it up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes, over here. Thank you. Up in the stadium. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you guys for raising your hand. Just one more moment. Raise your hand real high. I want to make things right with God today. Thank you. Thank you for those of you that are raising your hands. God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you mean business with God, and I know you do, I want to lead you in this first step of salvation, which is the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's the first step. It's not the only step. It's not a get out of hell free card. It's the beginning of a relationship following Jesus. But if you mean business with God, pray this prayer with me. And I'd like to ask anybody around just to encourage them as you pray out loud with them. But if you raise your hand, pray just a little bit louder than the person next to you. Pray this way. Dear God, thank you for the truth that sets me free. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I agree with God's word I've broken your laws. I've crossed boundaries. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Today I put my faith in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, and I will follow you every day. Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus and honor your boundaries in every area of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise for these that have prayed just now to receive faith in Jesus. Amen. No patty caking allowed. Some people just move from death to life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. For those of you that just prayed just now, you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. One is, right when this service is over, I want you to go out in the hub. There's a tent called Next Steps. We want to put a Bible in your hand so you begin to learn about God's boundaries and His plans for your life. There's a little book called Begin. We want to put that in your hand. And just as you begin this journey of following Jesus. And so on your way out, go to Next Steps and check in there. Now, some of you you're thinking crazy thoughts. Remember, I saw something about a water baptism today. That's right. Right after the service, we're going to be baptized in water. And baptism is simply a public declaration of what just happened in your life. Every believer in Jesus should be baptized in water. And some of you are thinking, I could do that today. And I'm saying, you're right, you could. We got a bag full of clothes at the Next Steps thing. You grab it, just go get baptized. Publicly declare your faith in Jesus. And I know some of you want to do that. The good news is when you make a decision to follow Jesus, you're no longer alone. You're now part of a family. And the family of God is billions strong. I said billions strong all around the world. So on behalf of the body of Christ around the world and the family of God here at Grace, welcome to the family of God. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Thank you, God. Bless the Lord. I want to do one more thing. Families take care of each other. Spiritual families pray for one another. So today, I feel real strong that we should take some time here at the very end of the service and pray for each other. So I'm going to ask all of our small group leaders, our pastors, elders, and their spouses, any people who's part of a prayer team, would you join me up front here right now? Would you join me and just spread across the front and spread out? And you know, husbands and wives, spread out so everybody can find you. We're going to need everybody here today. But what we're going to ask you to do is, in just a moment, I want you to come and find one of these leaders, and we're just going to pray for you. You know, not a day goes by at our church, we don't hear about, you know, somebody's sick, somebody's struggling, there's an issue in a marriage, there's an issue going on, and we need each other to pray for each other. And so that's what this is for. And so we're not done yet, so I'm going to ask you just to hold tight. We're going to worship the Lord together and sing this song. But if you have a need today, I want you to come and find one of these leaders. And I'm going to ask everybody just to spread out. And again, husbands and wives, I'm going to need you to, only time in my life, I'm going to ask you to separate. You do it now, all right? Because we're going to need everybody's help as we pray together. Why don't you stand? And as we sing this song, why don't you come forward? And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you. Come on, let's pray together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Cry. darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. And every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with God. Have a wonderful day. We love you.